Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we know that this is exceptionally true, that all things are possible for that which was not possible at that time when you were there in the garden with Adam and Eve, and you said, "Now lest he stretch forth his hand and take of the tree of life and live throughout the ages." You stopped that. It wasn't possible, but in this hour, the ages have come upon us, and it is all over, so therefore even this is now possible, which is the ultimate, that there will be some standing who will not taste death. And we're very grateful for that, Lord, that this is that hour, and we count ourselves of that people. Not that we have anything of ourselves to commend ourselves, but our faith is in Thee, and we judge You faithful, Lord, to Your Word, that You brought the Word to us, and now, having brought it in the shout, we believe there is only one place to go, and that is into the voice, and then unto the trumpet. So, Father, we thank You, and we just praise You for Your consistent goodness, and we believe You'll be good to us this morning, showing us Your Word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, few announcements. You can just cut the tape for a second on this. We got some announcements. We're into the day of the Lord, which is the day of the Master, which is also the husband. And, of course, we know that we're not remiss because the Word is translated that in the best translations. And if I can just find it over here, I never can find anything when I want it. I don't say I never can find when I want it. But sometimes I have myself a job. And yes, it says in the third chapter of Hebrews here, concerning it says, first verse, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Jesus Christ, who is faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. And every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which are spoken after, but Christ as a son over his own house. Now, we're his house. So therefore, this the one that's at the head is the husband. So, this is the day of the husband, the day of the master, the day of the one that is legally the head. See, remember the scripture says we have one Lord, and that is the one we're dealing with this morning. So, all right, we go to the book of Revelation again, the first chapter. And in there, the 10th verse, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. I became in the Spirit to the Lord's Day. And we discussed that. And heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. And the 12th verse, I turned to see the voice that spake with me. Conversational voice. And this is kind of surprising to a lot of people because they don't realize what started in the Garden of Eden, where God spoke to Adam conversationally. He is kept up by means of prophets. I turned to see the voice, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks in the midst. He saw this one that is described, and we've been talking about him. Now then, you notice that John heard the same voice in verse 10 that he heard in verse 8. Now look it. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. I came in the Spirit to the Lord's Day. I became and heard a great voice. Now, that's the same voice he heard in verse 8. I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which was, which is to come. Now, we know it is the same voice categorically because the 11th verse says, I am Alpha and Omega. So, the Alpha and the Omega of verse 8, is the Alpha and Omega the same one in verse 10 that he turned to see in verse 12? So, all right, it's the very same one. Okay, verses 1 to 3. Now, follow me the best you can. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants, things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his messenger unto his servant John, who bear record of the Word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Okay? Blessed is he that readeth, And he that heareth the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Okay? 1 to 3, that is the prophet. Because it's a prophecy. So we see a prophet, a prophetic ministry right before us concerning God himself. In other words, God's his own prophet. There is a prophet involved here, and prophecy comes forth. Okay. Verse 8. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending. Okay? In other words, you see something going on in progress. It takes a prophet to bring it out. So that's prophet. Again. But when you get to verse 10, I heard behind me a voice as of a great trumpet. Now remember, a trumpet announces a person. It declares war. It has to do with announcements. In fact, if you get to the Feast of the Trumpets, you'll find all the things that Brother Branham delineated concerning a trumpet. Okay, now, when he turned, he saw a judge. Okay, prophet, judge. So, we notice, the voice of the prophet now is the same voice as the voice of the judge. See? Notice, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things that are written therein, for the time is at hand. Prophet. Prophecy. Over here, judge. See? And when you have a judge, of course, you're dealing basically with word, but in a different position. Okay, the voice of both the prophet and the judge is one. See? The voice of both prophet and judge is one. Now, that's not always the case in the world. That's why you got so much trouble. If you ever had somebody that could really interpret the law, that is the word, you'd have a real fine nation. Well, what do you got today? You got a Supreme Court that is supremely inadequate. They don't care two bits what the legislators want. They want to legislate. Thank God there is a judge and a prophet that has one voice. We have a judge and a word that is one, which proves God is the Word. That's why we put such emphasis on both the Logos, which is not printed page, and the printed page, which deals with Logos. In other words, describes and gives us the verbal, mechanical understanding. Okay, now, Revelation 1, 4 to 7. I, John, to the seven churches which are in Asia. Grace be unto you and peace from him which was and is and which is to come from the seven spirits that are before his throne. And that goes clean back to Zechariah and so on. And from Jesus Christ who is the faithful witness. Now notice in there, from God, seven spirits, Jesus Christ. Now you got to keep it all separate. I don't care about how much interplay there is. I don't mean I don't care as though I don't care. I mean I'm making a statement here that it is not consequential as to any ferment or furor or any pickiness in trying to elaborate so that you become so proficient in understanding this that you know, you're tremendous. No. It's that there is a difference. There's a three things set forth here. Grace from him which is and which is to come. And from the seven spirits and from Jesus Christ. Now we're not going to try to analyze, synthesize. We just know they're there. Just, that's it. Okay, three things there. Who is Jesus, the faithful witness, the first begotten from amongst the dead, the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Behold, he comes with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they that pierced him, and all the kindred shall wail because of him. Now you notice verse 5, 6, and 7 is about Jesus who is the Christ. Okay. Now, what I want you to notice here is that Revelation 1, 4-7 must give way to John 5:27. Let's go back and look at John 5:27. We already know what it is because we've looked at this before. Okay. And unto him, and hath given unto him authority to execute judgment, because he is the Son of Man. Now notice, it's not only to execute in the sense of pronounce, but to carry out. See? So, 4-7 gives way to John 5:27, which of course is Revelation 1:12-18, the judge. See? And it gives way to Revelation 19:11. I saw heaven open, a white horse, him that sat called Faithful and True. Righteousness, he does judge and make war and execute his judgment. Why? Because there's a war. Why? A trumpet is sounded. Why? A message has gone forth. They turned it down. So now comes the fight. And I'm going to tell you, God's going to win this one single-handed. See, it's, there's a battle coming up, and don't anybody kid you. And who was it? He was the one whose vesture was dipped in blood, who is called the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Here we see the super manifestation of God in all ages, crowned King of Kings and Lord of Lords, coming with His bride. War. Trumpet. See? Now remember, it's at the last trump. The trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised. The sounding of the gospel trumpet of Revelation 10:7, which can only come to Revelation 10:1. Because Revelation 10:1 is the mighty one we're talking about, descended on earth in the form of the Holy Spirit at the time when the mighty messenger, the seven church age messenger, is here. And remember, that's the time of Malachi 4. So, you can see how Revelation 1:4-7 gives way to Revelation 1:12-18, which is explicitly sent forth in John 5:27. Prophet is the Son of Man. So, there comes a time when the days of prophecy will begin to run out. Wind right down. And the day of the Son of the day of the Lord begin to speed up. Now, Brother Branham called that a juncture, or someone turning a corner, and it takes a prophet to do it. Okay, you understand we're talking then how the prophet gives way to the judge. Now, there can never be any decision or verdict unless there is a word to go by. No way. You understand that? Then what church has a right to say anything? I want to know. See, I'm kidding where Brother Branham hit. What church road will he judge by? There can be no judgment. And there can be no judge. Unless it is one with the Word. Show me the church. Why is he going to judge the whore and all the daughters? It's by one man, Christ Jesus, prophet, who is the Word. For all judgment is committed unto him. That's why he had to be prophet. That's why he's called that prophet. See? Now, he's a lot of other things. Because in what he is, everything's in him. But now, as the great prophet, there is no course or plan of action that is right or wrong unless a previous word already has been enunciated and revealed by scriptural continuity. Vindicated to be sold. In other words, If you are going to have a judge, there has got to have been something through the ages that God has held inviolate and brought to the people so that there is something to judge by. Now that's pro and con. See? And it's got to have a scriptural continuity. That's why I said here, reading my notes carefully, there is no course or plan of action is right or wrong unless a previous word that's been established, a plan of something, a purpose, already has been enunciated and revealed by scriptural continuity vindication. Now, let's understand this. You know, God defers judgment until there's nothing left to judge. He said concerning the Exodus of Moses, bringing them out of Egypt, he said the cup of the Amorites is not over. Now, remember what he said to the Pharisees. Let's get that in Matthew 23. Fill ye up then the measure of your fathers, you serpents, you generation of vipers, how can you escape the damnation of hell? Wherefore, behold, I send up unto you prophets and wise men and scribes. Some you'll kill and crucify, they've already done it, and scourge in your synagogues and persecute from city to city, and they're going to do more of it, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel, the blood of Zacharias, son of Berechiah, whom you slew between the temple and the altar. Verily I say, all these things will come upon this generation. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you would not allow yourself to be gathered by the prophets, so therefore judgment is going to hit you. What judgment? There's only one judgment. That's word. See? He said, the word that I give you, you're going to be judged by. Chawney. I think it is. All right, now, Israel, Jerusalem, absolutely paid the price. Now, you've got the same thing at the end time here. See? In other words, scriptural continuity. Here comes a time when the word runs out. Now, let's face it. Every time a word has run out, God has stood there with another word when it comes to redemption. But there's going to come a time when redemption runs out, and that's now. In the first church age, a bugle was sounded, a trumpet was sounded. A message went forth, a war was declared. The gospel went forth, riding in power as a lion. Under that first seal. And the first age or so. Okay. Now then, what happened? God took his messenger off the scene. Paul died. John died. Polycarp comes on the scene. Quirinius on the scene. They don't have what those men had, but they have enough. And so another gospel, a trumpet is sounded. Another war is declared. The gospel goes forth, bringing in the people. They lay that messenger away. Another trumpet sounds. Another war is declared. Sword is going forth to slay the enemy. See? To draw blood. To bring in the righteous. Then that one's laid away. But there comes a time when the seventh church age message blows on his trumpet and a war is declared against denominations. It's all going to tumble down. And redemption runs out. Now, there's no more word left for redemption. No siree. No siree. It's gone. He's not starting anything where man's got to have a redemption. He's starting with the redeemed. See? And they're going where the prophecies, which are vague but beautiful, are fulfilled in an immortal people. Now remember, God always had a plan for that. That's why he said in the Garden of Eden, why he said, now that this man knows good from evil, good and evil, he said he's like me, he's like God. So therefore he's in a position now to stretch forth his hand and take of immortality and live forever, which is 6,000 years, because immortality is not eternality. Ages to the ages is 6,000 years of human living. So he stopped him. But at the end of 6,000 years, there has to be a change. And we're there right now. See? And the last trumpet is the hour that man can approach to that tree. So, all right. The next thing then is judgment, falling in line. Okay. Now, there is no decision or declaration or allotment or meeting out, M-E-T-I-N-G, meeting out of merit or disfavor, reward or punishment that can be proffered without a former word as basis, and that basis a truly revealed word. That's exactly right. And then let's go a little further. The one that's doing it had better be able to read the hearts of men to get the right guy. Well, I got a question for you. Was that done in this hour, wasn't it? Then who sat there doing it? What is a discerner? A judge. All right, who was it allowed to manifest it? A prophet. What was here? The prophet was here. And I speak of God being his own prophet. See? Okay. Now, a standard, a plumb line, a guide, a rule, even unto principles and methods, or precept and example. Now, the Old Testament is plumb full of precept and example. These things written for our admonition as examples unto us. Our own prophet William Branham came and showed by precept and example. There's two ways of teaching, example and precept, and you better not separate the one from the other. So you've got to go together. All right. Line upon line, precept upon precept, here little, there little. See? And vindicated so that men fell backward. In other words, it was a complete revelation by the Holy Spirit and vindicated to be so that boggled men's minds and threw them back. Now listen, don't think, go come on, brother, sister, let's get this nailed down pat. I may not get out. I feel pretty good sitting down here. Just pray I don't stand up. It's going to take off. Listen, here's what Paul said. I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellent speech and a wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. I'm determined not to know anything among you save the very lowest, Christ crucified, which you hate. And I was with you in weakness and fear and trembling. My speech and preaching not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of spirit and power, precept and example, that your faith should not stand the wisdom in. Howbeit, we speak wisdom amongst them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the prince of this world that comes to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained the word to our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. See? Stood right there vindicated and crucified it. And you've got the same thing right now. See? It always runs in scripture continuity. We've always had precept and example. Jesus gave the precept. He said, I am. If you don't believe I am, you'll die in your sins. And then he said, now hold it. You don't believe that, but you watch the works. Then you go out and do the same works or find somebody that can do them, then go to him. And they wouldn't do it, so they went to hell. And one day Simon the sorcerer tried the same thing. And he said, I'll give you money. He said that I may have a gift of God. And you know what Peter said? He said, to hell with your money. That's exactly what Peter said. It may shock you, but you better know it. People are just too nice. I got that. Yeah, I got that. That's exactly the finest Greek translator in the world. Phillips, Dr. Phillips. So that's exactly what Peter said. You say, well, that word's perdition. The word's hell. And I don't mean to hell with your money like you say to hell with you because I don't like you. I'm putting it exactly where it is. All right, then what's the legalist trying to do? Trying to buy immortality. Now, where are you going to end up? I'll tell you where your doctrines are going to burn. It's going to burn in hell, because that's where they're going. Oh, this tape ever gets out, I'll really be blackballed now. Sure, because he ain't got the guts to say it. They'll tell all kinds of lies and everything else under a filter. They won't stand up with God. What about a God that cast men into hell? What about it? I'm not going to do it. God's going to do it. And he's already said it right here. Peter saw it coming down the road. Perish, absolutely. Where's it going to perish? In the lake of fire. Be all right if some people could just get down to Hades and sit there, but there's a lake of fire coming on top of Hades. We don't ever sell God short for one minute because you can't do it. All right. Alpha is always the prophet. It's got to start with the word, for word alone explains man's conditions. Word doesn't only explain man's conditions, the word explains man. You got all these phony psychiatrists out there. Why? Because the preachers failed their job. It took men like Dr. Minninger to come down and say, as long as sin plays along the nerve lines of any human being, he said they're in trouble. Absolutely. They got psychological problems. He said we need preachers to pronounce men in sin as sinners and go to God and get help. And Minninger's one of the greatest psychiatrists ever lived. I think he might even still be living. I might be dead by now. But I'll tell you, it's just too bad a bunch of those other fellows are living. And now the church has got to have psychiatrists and business agents. Fact. I can tell you one thing. If we can't take somebody that's just almost halfway there and do any job the church requires and leave the rest to the Holy Ghost, we might as well close the doors. Just forget it. Alpha's always the prophet. It's got to start with the prophet before it turns judge. It's got to start with the Word. For it's the Word alone that explains man. That sets forth God. God's dealing with man. It's got to take a word which is a revelation. Okay, let's go back to Genesis 2. Okay, 16 and 17. And the Lord God commanded the man. This is a precept. The commandment God gave him. Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat of it. For in the day of the eating of thereof, dying thou dost surely die. Okay? Let's go to Genesis 3:17. And unto Adam he said, because you hearkened to the voice of your wife, ate of the tree which I commanded thee, saying, you'll not eat of it. Curse the ground for your sake. And sore you'll eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it'll bring forth to you. And thou shalt, you see, it won't bring it forth to God, but it'll bring it forth to him. And thou shalt eat the herb of the field. And the sweat of your face shall eat bread. Till you return to the ground out of it you were taken, for dust you are, to dust you return. Now you notice, one place is the prophet, the next place is the judge. You can't have a judge without a prophet. You can't have a decree without a word. There is no way, no way whatsoever. Okay, then on to verse 22 of the same chapter. And God said, behold, the man has become a one of us, to know good and evil. Now lest he put forth his hand and take of the tree of life and live and eat forever, therefore God put him out of the garden and stopped him from getting near to the tree of life. All right. Omega is always the prophet turned judge. Now I don't mean Omega in a final sense of the word. See? But I mean that word has got to come someplace at some time where it becomes definitive to the point of a decree. See? That's Omega I'm talking about. I'm not talking about the Omega of the great creator who becomes now the great destroyer. Or reconciler, whatever else. I'm talking now in terms of a word. See? Not executor. I'm talking in terms of word and judge. And that's exactly as far as the word goes. You follow what I'm trying to say? It might be a little difficult if you understand this. Look, please don't find it difficult. As simple as ABC. If the judge is a real judge, then he knows the word about the case. Now that's as far as he goes. to tell you what the Word says. If there's an alternative, what the Word has decreed, what must follow, what must happen. But He doesn't make it happen. He sets in machinery that which causes it to happen. So, all right, we're looking in terms of this Word, the precept. Omega is always the prophet turned judge. The executor or performer is not the supreme, but the judge. Now that went over your head, but listen carefully for what I just said. The executor or the performer is not the supreme, but the judge is supreme. Because he starts or stops the authoritative power. The judge says, execute, don't execute. Now you say, well, all right. The governor is the one that goes, and he seems to have more power than the judge. That's only the case of a fact of what we're looking at. It seems, but it's not so. So you say a governor can give clemency. Well, what do you think God did when he was outraged? See? But with God, clemency has already been granted through Jesus Christ. See? Now remember, a governor can be pretty rotten and stinky. What's this one I hear about? I don't know. I didn't even hear about it. But the Holtons came down and told us how this governor in Tennessee was picked up and a bunch of judges and things with him because they were paroling prisoners and giving pardons for money. Now, why do you think Mr. Ford pardoned Mr. Nixon? I don't know. I'm not in Mr. Ford's boots. I'm going to tell you something. That's not a true example of what we're going into. That's man messing around. That's the church messing around. I'm talking about God. And God has to abide by His Word. So therefore, the Word is superior to the power. Huh? Yes, you bet it is. Come on. See, you're going to sit here to do this bunch of legalists and you begin to see some things. God can't act apart from His Word. I don't care how big God is. And God doesn't care how big He is. He stands behind His Word to perform it. See? So when you get a prophet in the land, you better be understanding that prophet will one day turn judge. He said, the Word, Jesus said, judges you. How do we get that? Well, I think that's John 8. I don't know. I'm not smart like these preachers that know the Bible. I wish I was, but I'm sorry. Maybe it's not John 8. It might be even John 6. I don't know where it is. Now, could be even in Matthew, for all I know. I'll find it someday. I'll make a note of it. Won't matter anyway. It's the truth. I gave you the truth. I didn't paraphrase. It's still the truth. Okay. Now then, God always is His own prophet. God is always His own judge. Therefore, because He is who He is also His own executor, because God executeth judgment. Bible says so. Thus He has said, and shall He not bring it to pass. Now, we've been hitting, which we must hit, which is the negative aspect, because the negative is in a preeminence over the positive by virtue of size. In other words, 4 billion people on earth. Not 1 billion are supposed to be Christians. Maybe not one of a million out of the billion is born again. So, by virtue of the negative, Many more are the children of the desolate than she that hath a husband. The preponderance of cares over wheat and chaff and stalk over wheat is overwhelming. Now, you know, I'm sure ever had the privilege I had, if you call it a privilege, of being a kid, you know, 60 years ago, which if you're a privilege, it's a privilege. And for some years, we never had combines. We had thrashing rigs. And I remember as a kid, we had a little puny, granary. Maybe, 10 feet by 8 feet by about 12 or 13 feet and 6 feet high and a roof on it. And you decided it was a straw stack that you could have hid 50 grain bins in. In other words, the size of the harvest to destruction was myriads times greater than the size of the harvest unto eternal life. Whose fan is in his hand, thoroughly purges floor, gathers wheat in the garner, but burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. That's judge turned executor. Based upon a word. Say, okay. Now, I said the preponderance in this hour sorrowfully has been negative. Okay, let's turn positive. Let's go to Genesis 1 and 26. And God said, let us make man their image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, or the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creeps upon earth. So God created man in his own image. The image of God created him, blessed him, and male and female created them. And God blessed and said, be fruitful and multiply. Replenish the earth to do it. Had dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, or every living thing that moves upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you the herb that bears seed, which is upon the face of the earth, and every tree which is in the seed is the fruit of the tree yielding seed, for it shall be meat. Now, I want you to notice here that this word is in no way inferior to and will in no wise fall less or not be fulfilled than this word over here in the day of the eating thereof, dying thou shalt surely die. It's the same God with the same mouth. Yeah. That gives one word. Irrevocable. So, there is an irrevocable word for a people to replenish the earth, to subdue it, to preside over it, and to eat of the fruit of the land. Okay. Let's go now to Genesis. I'm sorry. 1 Corinthians 15. And he says, beginning at verse 49, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. As we have borne the image of earth, we bear the image of heaven. Now this I say, brethren, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither corruption nor incorruption. It won't inherit it. It won't possess it. Now he said, possess the earth. Now remember, Abraham, in that day, he could lift up his hand toward the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. Now God can do what he wants to do with his own. He's told us. He said, can I not do with my own what I want to do? Now God wants to do this. And he is determined to do it. So therefore, the word in the prophet, which is the positive, must one time come before the judge. Yeah. Because somebody's got to line to it. And judging, my brother, sister, is not only concerning disfavor and punishment, but it is merit and reward. And God said, I am your exceeding great reward, Abraham. I am your shield. I'm going to see that you get it. Now, you'll notice in here, we're promised immortality. Because this corrupt puts on incorruptibility.
this mortal immortality. And death and the grave were passed over. And when death and grave were passed over, you go to Revelation chapter 19. In verse 11, you see the mighty one coming back. And then in verse 14, with him, the armies in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And that's the righteousness of the saints. So you see him coming back with the bride. And they're going to take over the earth, and they're going to run it. You say, how do you know? Because it says here in verse chapter 20 of Revelation, verse 4, I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, judgment given to them, and the souls then beheaded witnesses of Jesus for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, nor received his mark. That's all through the seven church ages. In their hand, they lived and remained in Christ 1,000 years. The rest of the dead lived not again till the 1,000 years are finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death has no power. They're going to be priests of God and of Christ, and they shall reign where? On earth for 1,000 years. All right? Now, what is the judgment concerning that? The judgment is who are going to be priests and who are going to be kings. That's all. You're going to be priests. That tells you. Now, how did that take place? God chose a tribe of Levites. Now, he chose singers amongst the Gentiles, so we become the priesthood unto Almighty God. All right? Let's go to Revelation 22 and verses 1 to 3. He showed me a pure river, the water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and either side of the river, was the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits. Now, what are you going to do with the 12 manner of fruits? You're going to eat them. So what's man going to do? He's going to come back to eating. He's going to control everything that's upon earth, and he's going to be evidently a vegetarian, although if he wants to eat fish, I guess he could, because Jesus rose from the dead and he ate a fish. I don't look for any fish eaters in any, but it could be. Don't ask me what's going to happen. I'm just going to wait and find out. And if we're supposed to eat fish, we'll eat fish. But at that time, he did say they would eat off the land. And here you can see, even in New Jerusalem, they eat off the land. Now, the body will absorb it, no doubt. You won't have to worry about sanitary conditions because everything is sanitary. We won't be eating like a bunch of hogs. How could any man, how could anybody eat man and even stink? His feet didn't stink. He didn't sweat and smell sweaty and stinky. His clothes didn't wear out. If a shot of manna could do that, what about a shot of immortality? Listen, if a bread that came down from heaven, little pebbles could do it, what about the bread that came down from heaven? If a man that man eating shall never die, that couldn't happen till this hour. You couldn't eat the word till this hour that will keep death from your door. Oh, mercy for God. Then people don't even know the first thing about the press. I'm going to tell you people something. You're in for a surprise one of these days, because I'm going to have a church service here. And you'll be sitting here, and you better be ready to discuss and know what the presence is all about. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just telling you. Because, see, I'm not fooling. To me, there's a reality, brother, sister, and I'm not above you, and I'm not above anybody, and I'm not unique from anybody. But I tell you, by the grace of God committed to me, there is a presence that we're dealing with. A reality. That a lot of people don't have a clue to. From the telephone calls and what I get. And the letters and everything else, they don't have a clue to what I'm saying. Now, I'm not saying I can force it down your neck, don't get dumped for 1 minute. But I just wonder. And I'm not wondering at you, I'm just wondering. I'm not wondering at anybody here. How do I know what's in your heads or in your hearts? You know it's in my head and heart. Although you got a better chance of knowing about me than I got knowing about you. I'm not just transparent, I'm stupid. Okay, let's go to 2 Timothy. I tipped my hand, there's no hand left to tip. 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, verse 8. Henceforth there's laid up me a crown of righteousness. Now listen, there is laid up a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but all them that love his epiphania. The glory of his presence coming into the church until it's here. It started that way. It was so tremendous it struck Paul blind. See? Why? Because he was full of the Holy Ghost now. and the blinding light, that he'll appear in the sky as a flash, and they'll hide and they'll cower and they'll curse. Sure, starts right here in the light, and all those that love the light come to the light. I said the other day, so many people are scared. Look, I get scared. I still get scared about this message. I still look at things and you're almost quiver. I get scared. I'm not scared like I was. I come right to the Word and say, the prophet said it. Hallelujah. It's not going to scare me. I'm going to come right to it. That's when the blood goes into action. Oh, come on, Brother Sitra. Huh? You ain't going to get no preaching out of me. Let's see if I can find this. Man, I tell you, I just get so happy with the things of the Lord here. Now, okay. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses from all sin. Now, people got this all turned around. They think you're so full of love and so this and that, you don't do things that are bad and not so nice. Brother Branham categorically said, we've got brotherly kindness, which is sticky. Now, it says here, if you walk into that light, you've come to the light. See? Notice, the blood cleanses. People are scared to come to the light. They don't even know, for instance, what I believe. So they smart off and call it a puke doctrine. I don't call theirs a puke doctrine. No. These men that believe certain things that I never could agree, I listened to their tapes. I was honorable before them. I took their references. When I couldn't see it, I went straight to God. And I am in the light. Because I'm not afraid to come to the light. Then the blood cleanses. See? That's where you get your victory. The things of Almighty God. Sure. Now, okay. The righteous judge is going to give us. Therefore, we then must be word believers. Because as the light comes in, we're closer and closer to the glory which shall be revealed. And Brother Bass said, oh, what a glory that will be. And he said, now we behold him. Now we're behind the veil. Now we're taking up the bread, the show bread that lies in the Shekinah glory that cannot be worm eaten. That's the glory you're looking at. Oh, people say, I don't believe it. Fine, don't believe it. You say, Brother Bill, you should be sympathetic. What are you talking about? You want me to go down to Egypt like Moses went down? And he said, well, folk, he said, bless God, I finally got it all worked out. He said, I got it all worked out. He said, what do you mean? What do you mean? Well, he said, we're just going to convert old Pharaoh. He said, bless God, convert old Pharaoh to Abraham, and he'll let us all go. Fact. He came down there 80 years of age, stood there strong, and he said, Pharaoh won't let you go. He said, but we'll make him let you go in the name of our God, and he'll die doing it. Why do you get him converted? What do you want me to do? Convert somebody God doesn't convert? You can convert, but you can't convert. Yeah. Well, so much for that. I just look at, let's face it. We're not babies anymore. We're not tiny little infants anymore. Brother Branham said in 1956 he quit praying for America. Oh, Brother Branham, don't quit praying. He said, yes, I said, she's gone. She had her chance in 56 and she blew it. 27 years ago. What am I supposed to do? You know what people want? They want him to come down and get crucified over again. You know, you must be, people must think that God is like the guy that that he cut his thumb off in the buzzsaw. And the fellow said, well, how in the world did you do it? He said, like this. And his other thumb went off. Oh. Oh, come on. I reduce it to raw sarcasm on purpose. What are people thinking of? Once for all, he died unto sin. And once for all, we are born again to live forever. And every servant God chastises and trains up as a child should be trained up. Right. Okay. Let's keep moving. Let us never fool ourselves into the false hope that God will ever satisfy anything or anybody but His own Word. God cannot be satisfied outside the satisfaction of His own Word, which God Almighty satisfied Himself when He became His own sacrifice. I'll explain this sometime. Let's go back to Isaiah 53. All right. Got to find the right verse. Okay. We'll get it here. In verse 10, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. God satisfies himself in the performance of his word. God is satisfied through Jesus Christ's death and resurrection. So you and I don't pay a price. Now I know I should be all sweet and honey and say so nice to melt everybody's heart, but look, I'm not dealing with a bunch of sinners here. I'm dealing with a bunch of hard-headed Christians. As hard-headed as I am. And we're going to pound some, we're going to pound some grace and glory in this morning. With the old sledgehammer words, and the cutting sword. Because I need this the same as you do. See, we're prone to overbalance. You get a balance wheel off in your car and the thing will fly to pieces. You get your tires out of balance, they'll be full of holes in no time. Rip the rubber off and you're finished. That's why you got to come to temperance. See, that's one of the fruits of the Spirit, is also meekness. Patience is coming in there. Because you're beginning to see both sides of the coin. You understand how God does things. We cannot fool ourselves. God will never satisfy even himself outside of his own word. See? Now, the word of God, or thus saith the Lord, cannot pass away. Cannot be put on a shelf in any way. Or in any way disregarded. Or reversed. Or even delayed or accelerated. It takes God himself to do it exactly how he wants it done. He said, I hasten my word to perform. He said, stand over and do it. He said, I'll not delay in my promises. In other words, there is nothing that God himself ever does apart from his word. How can he when he is the word? See? Now, there is not one jot or one tittle. All will be accounted for, and all will be fulfilled in a season. That goes for both sides of the word. It's fulfillment in the negative and in the positive. God cannot have a negative without a positive, because he could not have a positive. He couldn't have a positive without a negative, sure. And he couldn't have a negative without a positive. And the positive always came first. All right, man does not want to believe that. Man has never wanted to believe that. Always it has been old, God really doesn't mean it. I can persuade him different. I can get out of it. I can pray. People say, well, maybe it's all right, I can just go to the blood. I'm going to tell you something about the blood. That blood will justify you. Absolutely wash away your sin. But it won't eradicate the fact that you did it, and you may have to pay for it right here. And you will. Yep. It started back there in Genesis, in 2:16 and 17, which I read you. He said, don't eat it, but that's the day you die. It was denied in Genesis 3:1-7, when the serpent came to Eve and said to Eve, now he said, look, honey, let's face it, God really didn't mean that. And she said, he didn't? Why, he said no. Now the prophet said there's one God. And a prophet cannot speak of his own mind. Oh, God, I wish I was in that shape, but I'm going to get there. Because the more I get to this word, the more I cannot speak my mind. It's got to be his mind. We're in the mind age. The greatest battle right now is bringing that mind under the mind of the prophet, which is the mind of God. The prophet and God have one mind. They have one word. They have one tongue. They have one voice. Now, so she said, well, what do you mean? Well, he said, I'm certainly glad you asked the question. Because I'll tell you how to fulfill the word. Now, wouldn't work. He got them all messed up. Because listen, there is always two ways to do anything, and I don't care what it is, a right way and a wrong way, and a whole lot in between. And you know what's in between? The wrong way. Now, Adam and Eve got doing it the wrong way, because they were not to supply the bodies. God was to bring the body out of the dust. God was to do it. He said, let the earth bring forth the beast. The beast was already there. Just get clothed. Man was there, so he clothed them in dust. And God was going to bring forth the bodies. So they stopped him doing it. Now he's going to bring forth the bodies anyway. Not by sex, but by a miracle. Creating again, as Brother Branham said. Okay. It was denied in Genesis 3, 1 to 7. What happened? You find it in Genesis 5 and 5. Adam died. Sure, he didn't live 1,000 years. He died. Now, look at our time. Look at the church ages. Where it started and where it's going. Okay? Let's go to Revelation 2, 4 to 5. Now watch. I know your work, your labor, your patience. You can't bear them that are evil. You tried them to say they're apostles, and are not, and found them liars, and has borne, has patience for my name's sake, and has labored, and has not fainted. Nevertheless, I got something against you. You left your first love. The church had started her way down. She became dilatory, as Brother Branham said. Now, she disbelieved this prophetic utterance which John gives, which is the utterance of Jesus the Christ in the mouth of Paul, mouth of John. And it's the same thing that Paul said in Acts the 20th chapter. So let's take a look at it. Now, verse 28, 7. Verse 26. Wherefore I take you to record this day, I am pure from the blood of all. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. They had every single thing they needed at that hour, had it been the hour of the rapture. Yes, sir, no church age has ever failed. But it wasn't that hour. Why? Because the word wasn't ready to be fulfilled. He that liveth and believeth in me shall never perish. Do you believe this? I bet your life I do. You bet I believe it. Like old Sarah. Oh, listen. I love the Bible because I get a lot of comfort in old gals like Sarah. Stood right there and laughed in God's face, then called him a liar. The Bible turns around and said, and Sarah received strength to conceive because she counted him faithful. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm glad I got a God like that. That's why my wife is just as bad. I never could figure out how to say she doesn't lie for me, but she almost lies for me. Well, she does lie for me in this respect. She says I'm a nice guy. She's crazy. Nice guys never win. I'm dizzy this week from doing too many good turns. That's the word that God distinctly says that she conceived strength to conceive because she judged him faithful. He had to rebuke her to do it. Oh, you little faith. You got it made. Just as Daddy Balsworth said, he said, never doubt your faith. If you must doubt, doubt your doubts. They're unreliable. All right, listen. He says here, take heed to yourselves, to all the flock of which the Holy Ghost made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. For this I know, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after them. Now this is our case in this hour too. Men are coming to this message in order to make something out of it. For themselves, a following, a church, a name, and God knows what. And men amongst us have risen up to take authority. Nicolaitanism. You see why I won't go anywhere, I just stay home? I got enough trouble staying here with you people. And you don't cause me any trouble. The guy's on the outside. Who knows when he'll come here? I don't know. And up to this point, we're doing good. Your deacons, keep a door there. Keep it locking the door. The password is proves you. Not exactly. I said, I know. Grievous wolves will come in of your own selves. Now he said, remember, for 3 years I ceased not to warn everyone. Brother Branham didn't have that kind of time. It wore out. Okay. It went to 2 Corinthians 11, where she was no longer a virgin bride. It became a rank harlot that God said he would judge and destroy in Revelation 17, 1 and 5, 6, and Revelation 18, 5 and 8. No, make no mistake about it. Revelation 2, 4 to 5. The weakness, that little strain, church, ends up as Revelation 3, where it says, unto the messenger church in Laodicea, because you're lukewarm and say I'm rich, increased in goods, and have need of nothing, and don't know that you're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked, and you need raiment that you may be clothed, so the shame of your nakedness do not appear, become absolutely manifested. In other words, she's caught in her sexual intercourses, which is idolatry. There is a pornography in the world church system. They have exposed themselves to everything. Until anybody knows who knows the Roman Catholic Church, and even the Protestants, because they got nothing to talk about, have become completely inundated with spiritism and idolatry. And the Protestants and Catholics see nothing of practicing spiritism and call it God. Even a fellow down there in South Carolina that used to believe in Brother Branham, he went into spiritism of the lowest degree I have ever seen in my life. Now, how are you going to get right out of this mess? There is no way but judgment. Right. No way. And that's negative and positive. Because God's going to bring a bride out of here. Now, I'm sure you noticed, and because we read it many times in 2 Corinthians 11, 2-4, Paul is speaking about the marriage of Christ to a virgin. When Paul said, I have espoused you to Christ, he was actually saying, I stood there between the two of you, and I was the minister that brought the vows and heard the vows from both sides while you pledged yourselves out. But he said, he remained faithful and you didn't. But he's got a bride that he's going to purify by the washing of water in this endine. He's got a bride he's going to bring back to earth with him, clothed in his own virtuous holiness, his righteousness, in Revelation 19, 7-9. Let's take a look at it. 19:7-9. This is not where he's coming back on the white horse. This is the word. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the bride has come. His wife has made herself ready. How ready was she back there in the first age? She wasn't. She'd lost out. Her virginity was gone. Her virginity is now restored. And to her was granted that she be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints, and she comes back with him to reign on earth and take over it and eat the fruit of the land. There you are. That bride is spoken of in Ephesians 1. As according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before him in love, having predestinated us. The church originally was a virgin bride. Make no mistake about it. You can find that in Acts 2, 1-4. Acts 2, 37, 41, 42, 47, Acts 13, 48. 1 Corinthians 12, 12-14, Ephesians 4, 4-6. You can find it all in there. Talks about that beautiful church. But Satan got to that virgin bride just as he got to Eve. He worked through her mind and changed the word of God to her. And with false precepts to follow, she became false and delinquent to God. Now listen carefully. The church's husband is Christ, who is the word. We can prove this. For Isaiah 54 and 5 says, thy creator, thy maker is thy husband. And in John 1, 1-3, it says, all things were made by him. There's nothing made that wasn't made by him. That's the Word. So therefore, the Word, the husband, and the bride get back together again. They get back together again in Hebrews, the 4th chapter. And in verse 12, for the Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even dividing asunder a soul and spirit, the joint and marrow, discerns the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now notice, the judge who sits there, see, interpreting the Word, revealing it, that has already been given. See, you notice that he himself is not doing it per se, but the Word is doing it. So therefore, the judge would have to be a prophet, and the prophet would have to turn judge. The discerning is going on. There is no creature that is not manifest in his sight, not it, but his sight. But all things are naked and open under the eyes of him with whom we have to do. And that was proven, therefore, that the Word in our midst is the judging Word. The prophet doesn't judge, it's the Word that judges. Then the judge who sits there per se is not the judge, it's the Word that is already judged. That's why he said you're already judged. Look, the white throne judgment that lets some people come in, brother, sister, doesn't let them come in as though it grants them a special grace. The Word has already set it in order. And it is merely opening a door. That's all. All right, now, John saw the judge in the day of the Lord. And judge and Lord mean the same thing. So let's go to 1 Peter 3, 5 to 6. And we'll get you out of here now. Sorry I'm this late. But I told you, sitting down is just good thing I didn't stand up. All right. 1 Peter 3, 5 and 6. For after this manner in the old time, holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. Even as Sarah obeyed Adam, calling him Lord. Husband is Lord. Why? Because he's the master of the house. He's the builder of it. He's the provider of it. He's the life of it. As the woman supplies a certain amount, which of course is pulp in a certain way, so it is the man. God provides for us as the master, as the Lord. Now notice, we go to Genesis 18 and 12. Now, she called Abraham Lord. And of course, 18 and 12 is on. It says here, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord also being old. There it is. Absolutely, we understand. Thus John saw the day of the Lord, which is the day of the husband. And that's good. Why? Because the husband has come to get a bride, to divorce the false wife, and to destroy the false wife, and to exalt the true wife. And I'm going to tell you, if that one that's here is our husband, the day of the Lord, that's here. See, the day of the Lord cometh with wrath. But remember also, unto you that fear my name, shall the Son of Righteousness arise with immortality. The wings, the beating wings of God, like a fan, fanning out, fan away the chaff. And let me tell you, they scatter when it comes to this true Word. I saw it way back in Pentecost when I was a sort of a oneness Trinitarian caught between them. I knew that the both of them had some truth, but God knew what it was. I didn't. They don't know either. I was caught between them. But I knew a little bit about oneness. There had to be one God. I knew water baptism wasn't to be fooled with. So I baptized quickly. But my theology wasn't where it is today. And I remember Brother Branham came on the scene. And you talk about a demonstration of healing in the wings of God, which was this great revival, which was to forerun the literal coming of our Lord and God in a physical form. After we go up there and we come back. Which was at the same time proof that he was here, as soon as everybody heard that William Branham believed in baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and one God, they said Jesus only and sneered and walked off. The Word of God in Him who is the Word here now, that became the wings that fanned. And I'm going to tell you, it fanned the chaff plumb out of existence. Now people can do what they want about it. You say, but Brother Bale, I do believe they're going to be all right. Well, you tell God about it. I don't have any permission to say that. I'm sorry, I don't have any permission. The only permission I got is this. They turned down a word vindicated prophet, and many made him the devil, which is blasphemy. Now you do what you want with that. You say, what about the rest? I'll tell you about the rest. The foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal of the Lord knoweth them which are his, and we had better know too. Yeah, we had better know too, because we better know who our master is. And that master is the husband. Now, let that master come home. Let a man come home to his wife. Does he have any standards outside of his own word? Well, said little sister Maud to her husband Jerome. Now, Jerome, dear, Zachariah next door, he lets his wife go to bridge parties with slacks. Well, he said, I'm not Zachariah, dear. I'm Jerome, dear. And I am your Lord and Master in this home here. You will not go to bridge parties and wear those slacks. And she said, well, then I'll have my own party. He said, you go ahead. The divorce is on. Now, that's pretty trite, but that's pretty true. Now, the prophet came on the scene. And ever since then, women have been busting wide open. And I was the guy that laughed at the prophet talking about the poor man whose wife was running around with other men and leaving him with the kids. Let me tell you, that has happened where more women are leaving than the men. So let the women begin to examine themselves a little more closely to see if they're in any kind of faith at all. Women who kick up their heels and decide they know more than their husbands. Women who decide their words a little better because they've been to some preacher or some priest. I would advise those women, and I'd advise every woman, to listen carefully what the prophet said about everything the prophet said. Because the woman types the church. And I would advise every man to listen carefully whatever what Brother Branham said absolutely about the headship of Almighty God so a man might try to fit in that mold. My advice would be, and I'll tell you very frankly, and that is, my own pronouncement on the subject of this hour is, the prophet has done, come and gone. The word now lies in the hands of the judge. It has swung positively to the judge. And he said, there is one that judges you, even Moses' law. There is one that judges even now. And you know what that judgment is? Oh yeah, the church said, oh no, no. We can't believe this is it. No, no. We will not go along with that. They're just like old Eve. Just like old Eve. Hebrews 6. It's impossible for those once for all enlightened, taste the heavenly gift, partake the Holy Ghost, taste the good word of God, the power of the world to come, having fallen away, no more repentance. No more handing the cookie jar. No more saying I'm sorry. No more chance to change the mind. All these fence sitters that go this way, that way, sit on a fence. Don't go with the whole word of God. Listen, fall on one side of the fence and get over it. I can tell you one thing. Let's get this flat. If there is any place in the church that two people can get along, it will be a believer and an unbeliever, but never a make-believer. He's the worst of the worst. Let our church be divided down the middle. It ain't going to work. Even though I want it to work, it ain't going to happen. This church will have. If it doesn't have now, God knows I could be phony myself. You don't know and I don't know. We care less. But this church, like every church, has to have believer, make believer, and unbeliever. And if we don't have them now, we're soon going to get them. Oh, don't worry. Yeah, you can say what you want. You can say, hey, don't bug me, man, but they'll be around to bug you. Try telling that to the devil. Why, he said, my job is buggy. Yeah. He'll come around and tell you. He said, no, you can't fool with me, because I ain't fooling with you. You say, you ain't fooling me? What's going on? He said, I'm dead serious. Because I want you dead. You know, the blacks rose up and they said, let's get whitey. Let's take a dozen or 20 with us when we go. The devil's going to take billions when he goes. I'm not saying anything against the black dude. I'm just telling you, in fact, they made the statement, let's take them. The devil said, I'm going to take all I can take with me. He's going to do it. All right, there you are, brother. It's the righteous judge. Prophet turned judge. The day of the Lord. No, sirree, you cannot talk of judgment without healing in his wings. And you cannot talk about healing in his wings, which is a judgment, outside the other. You've come to the place where Peter stands up again. William Brown's up, and he said, your money perish with you. She said, I'll see it burn where you're going to burn. And you know that's true? That's true. Where's that head of gold going to be? That old Babylonian head that's going to be down there. Our head of gold, brother, sister, going to sit in the crown throne. We're going to sit with him. We're right there today. Look, immortality is here, or I don't know what it's all about. Look, either it's right here on our doorstep, or we have been sold somewhere. Something monumental, God knows, was Brother Branham dropped down here, not from his mother's womb, but from Mars? Did he come down here from some unknown planet? Are there strangers out there in space that want to help us? Hogwash. There was a stranger in Bethlehem's manger, and he's still a stranger, and he's still trying to help us. And the Holy Spirit is down here making everything propitious to bring everything under him where man can be reconciled in God in a beautiful kingdom down the road, brother, sister. And he sent a vindicated prophet like he's always done and laid it on the line. And let me tell you, not one elect is going to be deceived. Not one elect is going to fall. There isn't one that won't come in. There isn't one that will not be glorified. That's right. You say, what's this message all about? It's to encourage you, to let you know the hour in which you stand. The deep, mysterious things of Almighty God. What do you think it was all about? Huh? I'm going to let you go home yet. Stand up and enjoy yourself. Can't enjoy yourself, endure yourself. That's what I've been doing. Enduring myself. I'm not too good at it. I'll read you what Brother Branham said, because I can't quote you word for word. And he says this, the spirit of wisdom comes into the church to make known to the church by the revelation of the Holy Spirit. Not William Branham, but the Holy Spirit himself will bring a revelation. Bringing the church in, revealing what they were living in. Just the same as Gabriel came to Daniel. The Holy Spirit comes to the church in the last days to reveal the great deep secret things of God. Well, why are you here today? The great deep secret things of God? To know the hour you're living in. The bread that's going to take you over. That's, you're not feeding on the words of a man. Brother Brown said you're feeding on the body word of the Lord Jesus Christ. That word which is his flesh right now. That is life. And remember, he that liveth and believeth in me shall never perish. Do you believe this? Absolutely. You say, what if I die? Fine, he'll raise you. See, we're not going to go to a culture because we believe the word of God. I can't buy that. Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just praise and thank you again for mercy and grace, the love of Almighty God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, for the good things, Lord, that you have predisposed at our benefit. Just to think, Lord, that a soul awakened by the Holy Spirit, touching that little molecule, microcosm down there within us, that little seed that needs to be brought quickly to attention, absolutely come to life, and everything say amen to the revealed word of God. Lord, and not being afraid to come to the word. Oh God, we've seen it down through the ages. Or even Paul said after 14 years, he went to Jerusalem wondering. And John the Baptist said, is this the right one? There's going to be a people, I believe with all my heart, who are going to say, this is it! Amen. And it won't be the gross outworkings of a man's mind. It won't be something the devil put in there. But it will be you, Lord, having circumcised the hearts and the mind until there is just one element that stands in a bride. That is that word. Not one doubt. Not one doubt, but knows. Like Job said, I'll stand on this earth in flesh with my Redeemer. There's a group standing here that knows this is that generation that will not pass away. till healing in the wings has spread immortality. Father God, I'm very happy to be a part of that. If I was no more than just an onlooker, I would have to say I'm happy to know at least I've got that far, that I could be somewhere in a company that will be there at that great day, rejoicing, as the scripture said, he that hath the bride is the bridegroom, and he that hath the bridegroom is the bride. Yes, we would stand there and rejoice. But Lord, we believe that in spite of ourselves, we can now, we don't look to ourselves, but we look to you, our eyes are upon you, that we're part of that glorious company, small but magnificent. For omnipotence is about to meet omnipotence. It's already met it, but not yet in such a way that it's been fulfilled to do certain things which will be done hereafter. But it has met with one thing at least, and that is that word, faith. Everything needed to put us in the rapture has been given us. Lord, it's been good to be here with your people. Look at the word. Just go into it, Lord God. And to rejoice in it and not in ourselves. For we have nothing in ourselves and we care less. It's just we don't look to ourselves anymore because why would we? Why would we? We look to you, O God, and we thank you. Now, heal the sick amongst us, Lord. Bring in a standard, O God, against the enemy. It's been raised up amongst us, Lord, years ago. It's been going on since 46 as never before. And the greatest thing of all, immortality. We have amongst us tonight, this afternoon, Lord, the whole. And the whole always contains the part. And we know that healing is a witness to the resurrection and immortality. And the word of immortality is now here. He who is life is here. Therefore, it is no great thing to claim the healing of God. And we thank you for it. And rejoice with joy unspeakable, full of glory in it all. Unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power and honor and glory through Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. The Lord bless you. Now, I don't like to twist away from the spiritual side of a service, but we are going to baptismal service, and if you so desire, we might all just go to it, and then before the majority of you get away, you've got to come back this way anyway, and you should decide, I think, what you might do for the coming weekend, because we'll have, far as I know, quite a few people, and Jesus with you. Tamarold of sorrow and of woe, it will joy and comfort thee.